Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is my belief that Patrick Mahomes will be scorched earth like LeBron was the year after he lost to the Golden State Warriors. I think that mentality is going to infiltrate the Kansas City Chiefs team. And from his leadership and Andy Reid and those guys remembering what happened to them in the last game of the season, you may see a different animal.
We're very happy to be joined in studio right now by a good friend of mine. He is the editor-in-chief of the most popular Chiefs website on all of the internet. The second most popular Chiefs podcast behind this show, because this show is the most popular Chiefs podcast. Come on now. You guys need to calm down. Pete Sweeney, he is the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, joining us in studio. I think that the NFL is telling us that they see Cleveland as the biggest contender to the Kansas City Chiefs based on putting them week one. I think in week one, you want to have all your ducks in a row. You want to have some great marquee matchups. These two teams played each other last year in the postseason. Cleveland has probably had one of the best off seasons of any team in the NFL. I think the league is clearly saying that they feel that Cleveland is the biggest contender to Kansas City. Do you agree?
No. And the only reason is because we know the time of this game right now. It's 3:25 p.m. I think there's plenty of slots that if you really feel like Cleveland could give Kansas City a run for its money, that you pick one of those primetime slots. Now, we'll see how the schedule shakes out. I don't have the exact thing in front of me, but sometimes they'll put a couple games late, and so maybe it's one of these featured games. I certainly believe the league, in a sense, believes more in Cleveland than it did a few years ago, but I think calling them the biggest threat and saying the league believes they're the biggest threat to the Chiefs is a little bit of a stretch for me.
I think the 3:25 slate was really the only one that was open. So Sunday Night Football is going to Los Angeles. Yeah. First time they're going to be allowed to have maximum capacity.
In the beautiful building, yes.
So they want to show the Rams stadium off. Monday Night Football, Vegas got it. Why? Brand new stadium. So you want to do the exact same thing. We knew they weren't going to get Thursday Night Football because they didn't win the Super Bowl last year. So I look at the only other available slot was going to be CBS at 3:25. Last year, Fox had the 3:25 game. It was Bucks and Saints. So I think this was the really only available time that was open for Kansas City, theoretically, to go grab.
Yeah. And as you're looking at some of these late games, I just pulled it up finally. The Denver Broncos are visiting the Giants. That's not something that you're really going to pay a ton of attention to. The Packers, likely without Rodgers, I would think at this point, versus New Orleans Saints without Drew Brees. Miami Dolphins, you have Tua against New England Patriots. We'll see if that's Cam or Mac Jones. So, yeah, this will be the best matchup in that slate, most likely, unless Aaron Rodgers and the Packers come to terms and you are excited for this Rodgers potential Jameis Winston type of matchup. And so I think it did get, I guess, one of those somewhat marquee time slots. But still, I just don't believe that the NFL buys the Browns as the biggest AFC threat. It's just hard for me to wrap my head around that.
Are you buying Cleveland? I'm not. I don't really see a lot from last year that I can really grab onto that they're going to be that legitimate of a contender. Yeah. They didn't have a great regular season schedule. They didn't have many great wins. I know they won a playoff game, but they won a playoff game against one of the worst teams in the playoffs and a team that just wasn't playing well at all heading into the postseason. I'm not a believer in Baker Mayfield. I was for a time, but I look at last season. I don't think he's a guy that can consistently beat you with his arm. They're going to beat you based off forcing turnovers and running the football effectively. And I think we see over time, you're just not going to win at a super high level doing it that way. I'm not a believer of Cleveland this year. I think at best they're a wild card team, but wouldn't be surprised to see them regress to the point of where they miss it. Are you a believer? Are you buying in on Cleveland?
I am in this sense. I just think that the AFC for me is still very much the Chiefs, wide gap, everybody else, starting with the Buffalo Bills, and maybe you have a team like the Baltimore Ravens who you would put in the same breath. And then after that, I mean, you got to figure out how the playoffs shake out. And so are they the fourth best team in the conference? I could buy them maybe being that, you know, and that's what I mean. I just don't think the AFC is all that deep, especially considering I don't put anyone in the same league as the Chiefs. And after that wide gap, I just think all of them are close. I wouldn't be shocked if anybody finished in second.
What's the game that excites you most on the schedule? Like when you're taking a look at the schedule, you're kind of looking at it, and I know you bloggers, you're salivating, licking your chops because you think, all right, this is going to be a great week for traffic. What game are you looking to?
Yeah, it certainly is. It seems like every week in the offseason is great for traffic nowadays in Kansas City. But I think it's Buffalo Bills, and right now we were able to get that leaked, and it looks like week five, Sunday Night Football. It's early on in the season. It's the AFC title rematch. The Buffalo Bills, they doubled down, taking Rousseau and Boogie Basham, defensive ends. I think they really looked at what happened in the Super Bowl and said, we want to bolster our front seven. We're right there. We feel like we can beat and hang with the Kansas City Chiefs. And this will be an early test in Arrowhead Stadium in front of a crowd, a national crowd that will be watching. I know a lot of people will be watching this game. That if you're just an NFL fan, forget just in Buffalo and Kansas City. In Buffalo, the last year twice, couldn't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. This would be a monumental franchise-changing win for them if they can pull it off. And so right now, as I look at the schedule and what we see, I think that's the biggest game for me.
I'm going to be really curious, and I know someone's going to track this over the course of the year. I want to know the normal average for road games and how they win. Like, what's the road team against the spread? What's the road team straight up in a normal season? And how that's affected? Because this year, I can see a lot of home stadiums having a little extra juice because people weren't able to go last year. Like, you weren't able to go in a normal capacity. There's going to be a rush of, I want to get back to normal. I want normalcy. And now going to Arrowhead, tailgating, having those memories and having those moments is a big part of getting back to normal. I think it's going to be borderline impossible to come into this environment and win this year.
I think especially considering the biggest factor, and I'll talk about the crowd in a second, but Patrick Mahomes is going to be protected. I think that Super Bowl and just how big of a stage that is has made us, in a sense, and maybe not so much in Kansas City, but certainly nationally, I think it's made people forget a little bit about what Patrick Mahomes can do and just how freakish he is. But back to the crowd factor, I think you flipped the switch last year too when the Chiefs ended up going to Buffalo, and I know that COVID had an impact on the game, and it was a stadium, I believe it was empty at the time, and that place in Buffalo against the Chiefs would have been rocking. And it was that type of game that was rainy. There was a lull. That was the game where Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the rushing offense showed that they can beat a team without really having to pass the ball all that much, and they ran all over the Buffalo Bills. It was a really, really strange game. I think they'll be pretty obviously some normalcy injected. And yeah, if Arrowhead Stadium was a tough place to play back in 2019, I think that's only going to be enhanced this year now that fans can get back to what they've been missing for really a calendar year.
I've made my top six in the AFC.
Okay.
I think it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Indianapolis, the Chargers, and the Browns. What do you think of my top six? How would you come up with your own top six teams in the AFC?
Okay, I'm looking at it now. I think it's the Chiefs and the Bills until proven otherwise. I don't believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do not. I'm not a believer in the Tennessee Titans. I like the Baltimore Ravens. I do like the Browns and the Colts. And I probably would put the Dolphins ahead of the LA Chargers, just because I think they're on the come up. I do like Justin Herbert more than I do Tua, But I think the Dolphins have a more complete team. I did like the offseason for the Chargers, though. So that's maybe where I would differ. I think the Dolphins, to me, are right there.
Pittsburgh right now was a team that I'm not interested in buying in at this point. I want to evaluate where they are by week four. Like, I need to see if they're going to run the football effectively. They didn't run the football effectively the last 9 weeks of the season. Like, they were abysmal, the worst rushing team in the NFL. I need to see how Najee Harris adapts, and can they run the football effectively. They also lost a lot of pieces on that defense. They lost Bud Dupree, and they had a lot of injuries. How does that defense look? So I would keep Pittsburgh out of this top six. They're outside of my top six, but I want to give Pittsburgh a month to kind of see where they are before inserting them back into this conversation. Right now, they have to be out of it based on what we saw at the end of the year.
It was just a collapse, and just two different teams when they lost to Washington and after that. And it was like, it was the grand reveal, like the Wizard of Oz. If you've watched that movie where you finally see, well, the Wizard of Oz is not all that intimidating. And then it felt like they could literally get beaten by anyone in the league. And so I think that's tough to come back from. That usually is a sign that maybe your franchise is getting closer to what would be a rebuild than getting right back into contention. I think the one team that maybe we're not talking about because of just how bad Cam Newton looked was the New England Patriots. But the New England Patriots had a terrible team last year, and they were still able to go 7-9. Now they're getting a lot of the opt-outs back. We know about the spending. Cam Newton may not even be the quarterback. This could be a team that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels say, we're going to just hand the keys to Mac Jones, and maybe they have a better chance to win. And I don't have them what would be in my top six or maybe even my top seven, but I think I'm having that pit in my stomach of, you know, is Bill Belichick really going to miss the postseason for 2 years in a row? It's just hard for me to wrap my head around that.
It is hard to wrap your head around it. I really like their roster, and I would say there's like a list of teams in the league. There's a list of teams where you like 2 through 53. You just have a serious question about their quarterback.
Right.
I would say Cleveland is at the top of that list. Denver is also on that list. I look at New England. Now, I don't love their skill position players, but I think with the offseason moves that they did, them getting so many players back off COVID this year, they should be a much better team. Cam was a bottom five starter last year in the league. Are they going to roll with Cam and now think that he's healthy, and now with the full offseason, Cam's going to take a big step forward? Or are they going to roll with a rookie who I think has a limited ceiling, but I do think has a very high floor?
Right, but I'm interested in seeing the offense, though, too, because when you bring in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, it seems like maybe that offense is going to play within the intermediate, like the 10 to 20-yard range, and just kind of chip away and go back to that old Bill Belichick tough defense where you're winning a lot of games, and maybe it's by like a 17-7 margin, 21-10, that type of deal. I'm interested in seeing what their game plan is. I could see them trying to score a few times and then bleeding out the clock and playing some defense and being a really tough team down the stretch. Now, I don't think the Patriots are going to threaten to win the AFC, but something just tells me that they're going to get back into the playoffs. Also, at the bottom, and I'm seeing it on the text line, Joe Burrow is an interesting wild card, as is Trevor Lawrence. I mean, everyone says that Trevor Lawrence is going to be ready on day one to take the NFL by storm. I mean, you have also the Jets believing in Zach Wilson. So really every team, I think, but the Houston Texans, of course, with the absolute mess that is Houston, has something you could point to and say, I like this. But again, you know, you talk about it in Kansas City, the most complete team with the absolute best quarterback and weapons, defense, and now offensive line is Kansas City. Like, it's just hard for me to believe anyone who comes even close to knocking them off.
Are you a 3:25 game or a noon game guy?
Well, I heard you on the way in, and I did want to say this. I'm so thrilled that you would take 2 days off for me. Good to know if I ever have wedding plans in the future.
You might be the only person I would do that for.
Rob's a maybe on the wedding list, but I think you would certainly be invited. So if I have a weekend.
Invited? I should be in the wedding. What are you talking about? Invited?
You want to stand up there with
me? I might actually like give a speech.
Yeah, you might look good in one of these blue suits that I would probably have for that. But I would appreciate that. I'm a noon guy. The thing is, if it's any later than noon with the web stuff and the radio stuff and the podcast stuff and the video and the press conferences, I probably finish up around 11. I don't get to watch any other games. So when it's noon, we probably finish up around 7:30 or 8, and I can at least take in some chicken wings and some Sunday night football and get another game in.
I do like that everybody looks at the schedule based off their own selfishness. Like yes. Me wanting 325 yeah. is only based on my own selfishness.
If I was a fan, I would love a late afternoon because you get to really, you know, you wake up a little bit sluggishly. You can watch the early games when it comes to fantasy football. Get some suds in you, then you can really enjoy what is your team in the late round. But yeah, for me, I like it at noon because it's easiest on my job.
So Pete, we are going to play a game.
Okay.
And throw a little bit of a curveball. The game is very simple. I'm sure you watch Family Feud. You seem like someone who loves daytime television.
Sure.
We play a game called the Google game. It is based off Google Trends. So I go on Google Trends. I type in Patrick, for example, and then we'll find out who are the most famous people named Patrick. So Patrick Mahomes would be on the board. Patrick, whoever, would be on the board. We're going to play the Drive Name Game edition of the Google game. Rob, hit the music.
Okay. It's time to play the Google game.
All right. Very simple.
I do like the music.
Top five answers on the board here. Before we go to Pete and Peter, we are going to give you Rob. Top five answers on the board. So Rob, not Robert, these people go by Rob. I need their last name, top five answers on the board. We are playing the Google game with Pete Sweeney in studio.
Okay, Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie. Number three answer on the board, Rob Zombie. Number one, two, four, and five still on the board. This is according to Google Trends. We are playing the Google game with Pete Sweeney. He has been ambushed. Rob Zombie is on the board. Three strikes still remain.
So it's okay. Can I go Robert De Niro?
No, these people go by Rob. No one calls him Rob De Niro.
Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Absolutely not. This is current Google. This is not 1997 Google.
Rob Ryan.
No! No! No!
I told you I'd be bad at this.
All right. Four answers still on the board. These are people that go by Rob. This is according to Google Trends. You have the number three answer. I don't know how you threw out Rob Zombie and haven't got some of these other ones. Like, they seem like very famous people, but I'm not here to argue with you.
I mean, the defunct DC of multiple teams. How is he not getting Googled every day?
Oh, my goodness. Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
You was right.
Number five answer. Rob Schneider is on the board here. All right, three answers left. Only one strike. I don't know if you're getting through this.
I don't think so.
I don't think you're getting through this.
Is it people or can you like name Broccoli Rob?
It's Rob last name.
It has to be.
How do you not? Do you watch the show? They don't ask Steve all these questions. How dare you question me?
Rob Kardashian.
Rob Kardashian. Number four answer on the board. You have guessed Rob Zombie on the board. You have guessed Rob Kardashian. You've also guessed Rob Schneider. Number one and two answers still on the board, yet only one strike.
Man, I don't know.
One of these, if you don't get, you might have to resign from your job.
Rob Riggle?
Rob Riggle. Rob Riggle not on the board. All three of your strikes. Rob now has the opportunity to steal. Rob, top two answers on the board according to Google Trends. This is your name.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
You got it, dude.
Rob Lowe is the number one answer, Pete. You want to know who the number two answer is?
Who?
Rob Gronkowski.
You know what? That was, it's tough. I've told you before. Yeah. It's hard for me to tap into like my brain when it comes to trivia. I don't know why I've never been able to really do it. And that's an obvious one.
Well, that's not going to help you because you've got two more of these. All right.
I should have got it.
These are fictional Peters.
Okay.
These are fictional characters
okay.
who go by Peter. Top four answers on the board.
Okay.
Your name is Peter.
All right.
Fictional Peters.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Correct. Number one answer on the board, Peter Pan. Are you a crunchy peanut butter guy or a creamy?
Me, I like crunchy strawberry jelly.
Okay.
Make you one of those sandwiches. Toast. Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin?
You was right.
Correct.
I like
Peter Griffin.
Effects.
Number three answer on the board. You've still got two left. Fictional Peters. You have Peter Pan and Peter Griffin.
Peter Rabbit.
Correct. All right. There's only one answer left. Fictional characters whose first name is Peter.
I'm pretty sure I know it if you strike out. I feel good about me knowing it.
I can't think of any other fictional Peters. I might. You can let Rob try.
No, that's not how it works. Give me at least give me one guess. At least give me one.
I'm trying to
you
think
can't
of,
just. You have three strikes left.
I'm trying to think of another.
There's a very obvious Peter.
Peter.
I got his head so easy. That was fun.
He psyched you out on Peter? Fictional?
I don't know.
No! 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 Pete! Rob, tell him the answer.
Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
You knew that. That's one of those things, like, when he said it, you knew.
Well, you knew Spider-Man was Peter Parker. Now I've known Rob Gronkowski. I know who that is. I obviously know Peter Parker. So that is what's very frustrating right now.
You look like Peter Parker.
I don't know if I look like Peter Parker.
You look like Tobey Maguire from the first Spider-Man.
Like from Secretariat.
All right, we have one more. I got a feeling you're going to win this one.
All right.
These are people in sports who go by the first name Pete. These are all athletes
okay.
who go by the first name Pete. This is according to Google Trends. They're not all current athletes.
Okay.
Five athletes that go by the same name as you. If this was Carrington, there's not that many people. I would knock this out of the park.
Right. Pete Alonso.
Correct. Pete Alonso, number three answer on the board.
Pete Sampras.
You was right.
Number four answer on the board. Pete Sampras.
Pete Maverick.
Say it one more time.
Pistol Pete Maverick.
Okay. All right. All right. Pistol Pete Maravich, number five on the list. You have three, four, and five. Pete Alonso, Pete Sampras, and Pete Maravich. We need the top two answers on the board. Come on now. Come on now. You know these last two, Pete. Don't let us down. Don't let the listeners and the readers of AP down. I'm
trying to think of the different sports. I don't think there's many NFL players named Pete.
These are just people in sports. I want to be fair here. Doesn't mean that they're athletes. Doesn't mean that they're currently.
Pete Rozelle.
Wrong. Wrong.
Pete Rozelle, not on the list. Come on, Pete. Don't let us down here.
Pete Fairbanks?
Wrong. Wrong.
Not on the list. You got one strike here and two to go, Pete.
I don't know.
If I was in the car right now, I'd be cursing you out.
Rob, do you know?
I'm pretty confident I know both of them.
Why is he always pretty confident that he's...
Because the rest of us are pretty confident. There's one more on the board. Two more on the board.
Come on, Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Come on now.
Pete Rose.
Thank you. That's one.
Yes.
I don't know the other one.
The
I'm
number two answer. Yes, you do. Give me a guess.
Come on. This is the easy one for you.
Pete Lowe.
Wrong. Wrong.
I have one question to ask you.
Yeah.
Who's the coach of the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, God.
I was going to say Pete Carroll. Oh, my God.
See, you know what?
If only you had some sort of NFL blog.
I'm incredibly upset myself because the three that I couldn't reach.
You missed Spider-Man,
right.
A future Hall of Fame
Rob Gronkowski,
coach, and a future Hall of Fame tight end.
That gum-chewing old man. up in the Northwest. Well, what do I lose? Does Rob win something?
You got to let Ron Cobb run the blog for a day. That's what you got to let
me.
Happen. You
got to
let
me.
You got to let Matt run the blog for a day.
I'm gonna hit.
You got to get it back to Joel.
It's about to. It's
for
about
at least
to,
for at least a week.
It's about to get warm out. They could take it for a week. I'll go to the Ozarks, hang out. You know.
Coming up, we'll get back to Pete's wheelhouse and talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it locked in right here as The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I've been saying over and over, the Cleveland Browns are the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC. I'm calling it right now. Cleveland goes to Kansas City and wins week one. Give a huge week one win to Baker that'll still matter in December.
Right now, we're joined in studio by my guy Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, the most popular Chiefs website on all of the internet. Are you a Baker believer? I was for a time. Mm-hmm. And I think he's sort of fallen into the, I don't know if trap is the right term, but I think he's largely dependent on situation. I think he's largely dependent on their running game being one of the best in the NFL. And if you change any of those in the formula, I think he's a very average, very pedestrian quarterback. I thought he was going to have a lot better accuracy than he's had. I thought his arm was going to be a lot stronger. I thought he was just going to be a better pro than what he's turned out to be. I'm off the Baker wagon. Where are you at?
I think I'm pretty close to where you are. It seems like he has the most success when, as you were alluding to, the running game gets going with Nick Chubb and former Chief Kareem Hunt, and they're able to really get the play action going. And reminds me a bit of when Jared Goff would have success with the LA Rams. Really, I think, needs to feel comfortable with that play action game. And I just can't get away from the divisional round last year. I understand everything that went into it. I understand that the Chiefs were a better team. But here you had a situation where Patrick Mahomes exited the game. I mean, the ultimate kryptonite to every team except for the Buccaneers in the NFL is out of the game. You have the ball in your hands midway through the fourth quarter. Chad Henne is now your opponent, who was never able to be a starter in the NFL. And you were just unable to get it done. I think the Chiefs defense deserve some credit for forcing that punt, which was huge for them as well. But if you're Baker Mayfield in that spot, I don't care if you're in Arrowhead Stadium with 22%. You got to get that done there. And that would have been the upset of the year and just left it on the table. And you don't get a lot of extra opportunities like that. And so we'll see if he can continue to get better this year. But right now, I feel like I'm more out than in.
I think we saw a couple of teams sort of draft with Kansas City in mind. I think Buffalo was a team that clearly drafted like trying to get better at pass rush because they realized what they need in order to counteract Kansas City. I think that Cleveland already has the pass rush, but they just needed to get better at linebacker. They need to get better at corner. So they pick up Greg Newsome in round one. I really like his value where they selected him, and they get JOK out of Notre Dame, who's a long, lengthy, athletic linebacker. I think Cleveland sort of realized last year that they didn't match up really well for Kansas City. I remember you and I had the conversation going into the playoffs. Who's the team that I thought Kansas City matched up with the best and I wanted to see? And I kept saying Cleveland. I didn't think that Cleveland matched up really well against Kansas City. They've tried to do something, but I don't think they've really closed the gap between those two to the point where I really look at them as legit threats. I certainly look at Buffalo that way.
Yeah.
We'll see how a couple other teams sort of emerge, but I can't put Cleveland in that category yet.
Yeah, and a lot of people really, and analysts, they graded Cleveland highly for their draft. They felt like the city of Cleveland won the draft because they put on such a good show and they were able to get some of these players that they really felt they needed, as you mentioned, with Greg Newsome, JOK, Weapon, and Anthony Schwartz. You talk to some of the guys over at Dogs by Nature, and if you have no idea what that is, that's the Cleveland version of Arrowhead Pride, and they were just very, very excited about this draft. They felt like Cleveland nailed it. you have Jadeveon Clowney now, who gets somewhat of a rebirth in Cleveland with an up-and-coming team. Myles Garrett is always a thing. You got to like their running game as one of the better running games in the NFL. We'll see if it's a rebirth-style year for Odell Beckham Jr. I think there's a lot of reasons to point to Cleveland and say they're on the come up, and now it's just, are we going to see it?
How would you handle the Green Bay game if you're a fan? Like, if you were thinking about buying tickets on Friday, I believe they go on sale Friday. If you're thinking about buying tickets, how do you handle it?
Yeah, my friends and I, we've recently gotten a little bit more into the stock market. This just seems like a bad buy right now, where you're going to buy it and then the news is going to break and then it's just going to completely tank. And so I would avoid this situation at all costs. I would look at the other 16 possible games if you're looking to go to a game this year.
Actually, some breaking news.
Yes.
Blake Bortles has just signed a deal with the Green Bay Packers. You know they were looking for a camp arm. Mm-hmm. They have now signed Blake Bortles because they are not expecting Aaron Rodgers to participate in their in-person off-season workouts.
Yeah, why would they?
Aaron Rodgers is certainly not showing up today. I'm not saying he won't be there in August, but there was no chance he was showing up in May to work out with the team.
Let me throw a question at you. Who do you like for the job, Bortles or Love?
Love. If they have done all of this and Jordan Love is not the starter for the team, everybody associated with that decision should be fired immediately. I still think Rodgers is going to be the starter.
Is it a quick yank, though? I mean, is it like a short leash? Bortles is breathing down his neck a little bit there.
If that happens as well, everybody, because if Aaron Rodgers gets traded, the number one reason he will be traded was because you draft Jordan Love. If he can't get through year one without you having questions of whether you should put Blake Bortles in, then you not only made a terrible draft pick, you made a terrible organizational decision to move on from Rodgers to replace him with the guy that wasn't close to being ready.
I don't know how, if you have an MVP caliber quarterback, you just don't include him in the idea that you're going to take another quarterback, especially, I think it was, what, the 9 of 10 drafts in a row where they took a defensive player in the first round. I mean, you could tell he's always a little bit disgruntled draft season because you're always doing the same type of thing, and then you double down and take a quarterback and don't tell him. Like, did you expect Aaron Rodgers to be happy about that? And then he goes and wins the MVP. Just an organization that really does everything else well when you look at like the years and years of building from within and just never can get the end of the quarterback tenure right. I mean, it's unbelievable what happened with Brett Favre after the 16 seasons, and now after the 16 seasons with Rodgers. Rodgers does not want to come back, and I've seen it online, so it's a take that stands out, and I think people like joke about it, but it's real. If Aaron Rodgers, and this is more of an Entertainment Weekly type of deal, is not speaking to his family, the Bachelor brother or whatever like that, you really think he's going to break and go back to Green Bay? I mean, I would be looking for the best possible deal if I was the Green Bay Packers right now.
We have some breaking news.
More breaking news.
The Las Vegas Raiders will host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football on November 14th. As you know, the Raiders, they will open up their season on Monday Night Football September 13th. They will open that up against the Baltimore Ravens. They will then play the Steelers in Week 2.
You joke about that. That in talking to a lot of fans and readers and whatnot, that is a date that fans have been waiting for years in the making since you found out that the Raiders were going to move to Las Vegas, because people wanted to go to this game last year. There were no fans in Vegas, and now there's a stadium that has bottle service in one of the end zones, and I've heard from fans like they've been wanting to plan this trip out for their road game in Vegas for years to come. So that there's your date, November 14th.
I think this is the hardest game on the Chiefs' schedule. I think the Raiders match up better against Kansas City than any team that we've seen them play.
I don't know, man.
On the road, Sunday Night Football. I expect a lot of Chiefs fans to be there, but
the hardest game on their schedule, though? No. Come on.
What team plays them harder than Las Vegas does?
I think you could say that about like division games, though. I mean, they'll occasionally lose a game.
Denver don't play them that tough.
Philip Rivers, well, Denver might, isn't, but like Philip Rivers came to Arrowhead on that one weird Thursday night and they played him kind of well, and Eric Berry was not, I don't think he played in that second half. That was the whole Berry situation. And then they won in overtime. I think sometimes you just drop a division game. I mean, the Chiefs have been largely dominant in the division, and that's kind of what I think happened last year. And that was the only game, too, where Derek Carr just looked like a different quarterback altogether. I just didn't understand that in the projection of, and I guess, the years of Carr in Oakland / Las Vegas. why doesn't he play like that every week, where he's throwing the ball downfield and taking chances and really looking like maybe a dynamic quarterback? And then he just went back to the same old guy for the rest of the season, and that's why you saw them taper off. Is that going to be repeatable? Because then, okay, maybe you have a case, but I just like see other games in the schedule, the Chargers included, who are on the come up, and I really believe in that quarterback. You have Cowboys with Dak Prescott back. To me, the Baltimore Ravens finally got, you know, through that playoff win, and they always have the Chiefs with a target on their back. So I don't know about the toughest game on their schedule, but it'll be a fun game, I think, for fans if they go out there and visit.
I think that Gruden knows something about Spags' defense.
Okay. Like,
I don't think offensively what they did was random. They did it the first time. You would imagine Chiefs studied that film, made necessary adjustments, and then Carr went out and did the exact same thing two of twice. I would say there was no team outside of Tampa that played Kansas City more tough. Not Buffalo, both times they played them. Not Baltimore, not Los Angeles. I think the team that played the Chiefs the toughest last year was Las Vegas, and I think a big reason was they realized that they could score with Kansas City. Now, they didn't show that ability against other teams in the
NFL.
At all.
It's just wild.
Sometimes it's styles make fights. I think that the Raiders, for whatever reason, match up really well. I think a lot of it is Gruden knows how to attack Spags' defense. I'm not saying I don't think that Vegas is the best team on their schedule. Not really close. But what we're saying is, right now, if I had to pinpoint a game that I think the Chiefs are in trouble, I would point to that road game, Sunday Night Football, that's going to be a raucous environment on the road. That's the game I would point to as that's probably the most likely game they are to lose.
It's going
to
be a raucous environment, but I mean, I'm telling you, from what I just said, and I find this very interesting about Vegas, now they're going to welcome back fans. This is America's playground. It is. And you're going to have passionate football fans that are going to be visiting every week that are rooting for the away team. Like Kansas City Chiefs fans, I think, you know, sometimes you're like, oh my God, and you look at LA and all of a sudden you're like, is that half and half? And I understand the Chargers are different than Raiders, but the Raiders aren't playing in Oakland anymore. Is that crowd going to be 30-70? Is it going to be 40-60? Like, I don't know. It might be raucous, but is it going to be raucous for the Raiders? I don't know. I don't know that anymore.
Coming up next, it's your chance to ask Pete a question, football or otherwise. Text line 913-576-7610. Talking Chiefs, having fun with our guy Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride joining us in studio. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
We will do Ask Pete coming up in just a bit, but want to pass on some Royals news and notes. Kyle Zimmer will begin a rehab assignment with Omaha this evening. So Kyle Zimmer back on the mend, working his way back up to the big league club. Also, Adalberto Mondesi will begin a rehab assignment tomorrow in Northwest Arkansas. So really cool for the midday show. They're going down this weekend to watch Bobby Witt Jr. He's in Northwest Arkansas. You'll also get the opportunity, I would imagine, to watch Adalberto Mondesi, who is beginning his rehab assignment. So Mondesi working his way back to the big league club. So is Kyle Zimmer. We're off today at 5 o'clock because of Royals baseball as they look to win their first game in the last week and a half. They have lost 9 consecutive games. They look to get on the right side of the win-loss column today against the Detroit Tigers. So before we sign off for the day, we will allow you to ask questions to Pete Sweeney that you've always wanted to know the answer in a segment we love to call Ask Pete.
This is better than the feud segment.
100%. I feel confident you can at least answer all of these questions. 913-576.
Well, that's to do with Rob Gronkowski, you know.
7610. Pete, do you think Mecole Hardman has a higher ceiling than we've seen so far?
It has to, right? I mean, you would think. I don't think fans really or the team has been all that satisfied with what he's brought to the table so far. I think a lot of these younger receivers, though, were indeed waiting for Sammy Watkins to either no longer be with the team. We thought that might happen last year. It finally happened this year. And that'll open up a lot more opportunity. But it is going to be intriguing. I think one of these guys will step up. My money is not on Hardman. I know we've disagreed about this, Carrington, with another channel. I like Byron Pringle for the role, but Cornell Powell's also in that mix, and DeMarcus Robinson is back in that mix as well.
I don't think the option is on the roster. I think outside of Hill and Kelsey, there is no other proven offensive weapon on this team. So I would be interested in going to find one. I'm not saying those guys can't step up.
I think in this season, right, so we're all honest with ourselves. It's Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I mean, I think everyone in the league knows that. But I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire takes a significant step forward. And then you're not really looking at the receiver as like your number three option weapon-wise. It's your number four. And I think one of these guys could handle that.
I'm really interested in picking up another number two wide receiver. I really wanted D.D. Westbrook, and then we had a guest on from Jacksonville, and he sold it like he was Chris Conley that just turned me off on D.D. Westbrook. I'm not going to lie to you. One person's opinion turned me off on D.D. Westbrook.
Well, I just don't think he matches the type of receiver that Brett Veach was trying to bring in. He reaches that height threshold of a Juju Smith-Schuster or Josh Reynolds, 6 feet, but he's a little bit lighter. You know, I think he's like 178 pounds. You know, they were looking for a bigger guy, which is why they went and got Cornell Powell, and they're so high on Byron Pringle. So I don't think he matches what the Chiefs had been looking for, so we'll see.
What's the bigger need right now, wide receiver or defensive end?
I think it's probably defensive end. I know that Kane Doe is the draft pick, but it's truly seems like he's going to take a couple of years. And you talk about, you know, an unproven position. You're looking at Taco Charlton or Mike Dana to take over that position. Talking to my friend Sean Barber with AP, he seems to think that Kane Doe can be ready earlier than maybe we're giving him, but we need to see that. I mean, he's coming off of a college injury. I know the Chiefs are high on him. I just don't know about this year.
Barber's always going to give you the most optimistic scenario of any Chiefs decision. Like whatever.
What did he say on that show? This show, Line Judge?
I actually,
Line Judge 79.
Yeah.
Drop.
I actually don't count any of those picks towards helping them this year. If they do, then cool. I'm not saying they won't ever help this team or they're going to be bust. But if you're counting on day three picks to come in and help you in pass rush, that you've made a terrible assumption, because that's not really how that position works. That guy can develop into that.
You're in like now the redshirt seasons of what would be Tim Ward too, who I'm really intrigued to see how he looks this year. And I also think what maybe is an underrated aspect of this is I really, really for the first time in a while feel awesome about the interior line of this team, which should make the outside better. I mean, you can't double-team all these guys. And Jaron Reed and Chris Jones and Derek Nnadi and Frank Clark, fingers crossed, are legit. So that will make things easier for the one-on-ones for whoever this man is.
Have you seen any of the A&E WWE biographies?
No, I heard they did Piper.
They did?
I have not seen it, but it's been on my bucket list.
I think Shawn Michaels is on Sunday.
I'm waiting for these tentpole NFL events to stop so I can get through them and then sit back and relax and enjoy the offseason. And they keep adding more. We got rookie mini camp this weekend and then OTAs start. So it never ends. Never ends. But I do want to watch. Yes.
Work is getting in the way of your personal life.
Unbelievable. Can you believe that?
I can't believe the Chiefs are so inconsiderate. How dare they do something like that?
Unreal.
Why don't they come to you and ask you when they should schedule their things?
That would be nice. That would be nice. I would appreciate that. So. If the Chiefs are listening, please email me and ask for my opinion.
Who do you think is more famous, you or Cody?
Cody.
Tapp. Cody who is a great answer to the question, actually.
Cody Tapp.
Cody, I'm not aware of him.
Cody Tapp's been doing this for a longer time. He did the Royals for a while.
Let's start a beef right now, and I want you to diss Cody Tapp so they'll play it tomorrow on their show.
No, I think he's probably more popular in the city than I am.
Cody right now that Alex carries him every day.
He's on the airwaves every day, and I'm happy that he has Alex because Alex carries him every day.
That's what we needed. It's exactly what we needed. How much DN do you think Chris Jones is going to play?
It seems like one down, maybe, you know, they kick him out on these passing downs. If it was up to Chris Jones, I mean, talking to him in the locker room and the conversations that we've been able to have, he'd be on the end. More than he's on the interior. And so if he's willing to do that and, you know, you feel good about Reed and Nnadi, then, yeah, I think maybe you do see it quite a bit.
Text line 913-576-7610. Concluding, ask Pete. Pete, when you're watching the game at home, what's your go-to meal or snack?
Well, when I'm watching the Chiefs game, if you know, last year it was all at home and we would do these Zoom press conferences. And
you look like a pita and hummus guy.
No, I don't really eat anything. I just drink water in those situations. But if I'm like done with the Chiefs work or the Chiefs are not playing, I'd get some chicken wings going. You know, a charcuterie board is classy. They have these at Costco, these munchies, which I really am liking now, like a cheddar. I don't know if you've seen these. Are you Costco guy?
No, I'm not a Costco guy.
Sam's Club man?
No.
I'm surprised by that.
I'm not buying
that
in bulk.
I would think that you would be either of those for some reason. But they have this like huge Munchies cheddar bag that I've kind of been addicted to. So I like that as well. But chicken wings is probably my go-to if I'm watching the game.
I like how we found a real cool French word for Lunchable.
What do you mean?
A charcuterie board, that's a Lunchable. It's crackers, meat, and cheese. It's,
you know,
it's a Lunchable.
You know, when the NFL schedule finally does stop, you get the charcuterie board out, you get the white wine going, a little vino for the Sweeno.
You're a white wine guy?
When I'm having the charcuterie, more of a red in general.
Okay, I was making sure. I wasn't sure.
I'm part of a wine club.
You're a wine club guy?
Yeah, that's me.
I would have figured you to be a Scotch man.
Yeah.
No. You seem like a Scotch and a Stogie guy.
Depends on the type of day, I guess. If you're celebrating, a Stogie is good, right? Right? Celebrate when the schedule release is over with a Stogie tonight, maybe.
913-576-7610. High C orange, Fanta orange, or Sun-Kissed orange?
Probably more of a Fanta guy, right? I don't know.
I love High C orange.
High C orange, that's throwback. I don't even really remember what that I haven't had that since I was a kid. That's a blast from the past, High C orange.
We can fix that today, right after the show. We can go get you a High C orange.
I told you that I am going to Chick-fil-A immediately after the show. I've been over here in a while.
Ask for two sauces.
I'm not going to do it. I heard that segment before. I'm not going to do it.
Ask for two sauces. No, don't just ask for one sauce. Ask for multiple sauces and see what happens.
I do like the Chick-fil-A sauce, and I also like the buffalo sauce that they make.
There's not anything bad on Chick-fil-A's menu. They've never introduced anything bad.
I find it tough to avoid getting a shake at Chick-fil-A. Their shakes are bad in a good way. In a good way. You see what I did there?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah,
I have seen Glory Road too.
Yeah, there you go.
I've seen it too.
Me too. Yeah.
Pete, thanks for coming in, man.
Man, I enjoyed every moment except the Peter game.
The rest of your hour was fantastic.
Thank
I'll
you.
Give you that.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow, the Royals have a day game. Friday, they have a day game. We got a busy 2-6 right here over here at 610 Sports Radio. Catch you guys later. Take care of yourself.